I sat in the office of the mayor of Bloomington with six or seven others from the Interfaith Winter Shelter Network of church leaders last week. And after being gone, as I was most of the summer, I wanted to hear and I wanted to participate in the planning for emergency shelter who find themselves homeless in the greater Bloomington area. I read the paper while I was gone. It was a rough summer in Bloomington for those who are homeless. It was rough for the city and businesses and for those who frequent Kirkwood. The city has managed to disperse a large crowd of the homeless to less noticeable areas of town. I don't say that favorably. I want to remind us that for me, there is nothing that defines what it means to be a person of faith more than how we treat those in need. That's a sermon in a sentence. You can just get up and go home now. It's not long. It's not going to go long today. I grew up thinking that I was a Reverend Jonathan Edwards sinner in the hands of an angry God. I thought I was doomed, and that church was about getting saved from that angry God. So I did the right things to be assured that I had a ticket to get through the pearly gates. I don't remember if I've ever told you that my salvation came at the cost of $5. It was a week-long church revival, and every night, if we wanted salvation, all we had to do was to close our eyes, bow our heads, raise our hands to signal that we wanted Jesus to come into our hearts. I was reluctant to hold up my hand on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and the preacher was warning those of us who were holdouts that our end was coming and that we were at great risk. I felt at great risk. But even then, I had a soft spot for those in need. And the preacher asked us to understand how great a sacrifice he was enduring to spend a week preaching to people like me. And that at home, his kids were all alone with his wife and his elderly parents, and wouldn't those of us who still hadn't accepted Jesus just give $5 toward his family and his ongoing ministry and his jet probably. He was going to come and take our gift from us personally if we would just hold up that $5 bill with our heads bowed, the crowd singing "Just As I Am" without one plea. And so I held up my hand and my $5, and no sooner was my hand up then I was swept out of the pew, led to the dunk tank, where I was asked very quickly if I wanted to be saved from the wrath of God upon my soul, and I said yes, and I got wet, and I was told I was good to go. Boom. Chick-a-boom. There's a story told of the outdoor baptism that is amongst my favorite that was taking place, and the crowd pushed a homeless beggar-type guy down to the river where stood the minister. And the minister asked him, "Do you want to see Jesus?" And the man said, "Well, of course." And the minister led him out to the water. He dunked him and he held him down until he was really squirming. And when he led him up, the minister said, "Well, did you see Jesus?" And the fellow spit out water and replied, "No." So the minister dunked him again and asked him again if he had saw Jesus. And after the third time of being asked if he had seen Jesus, the nearly drowned guy said to the minister, "Are you sure he's down there? I've looked everywhere." Baptism is a religious ritual that is lovely and sacred, but it does not put us any closer to the reality of God's saving grace than we were before we were baptized. It took me the better part of a decade after losing my $5 to see God for the first time. And this is my spiritual truth. An old Methodist minister up in Muncie, Indiana, came through the fellowship hall of his country church, where I and my college friends were doing a program to try to save the eternal souls of those high school kids. And Reverend Phillips looked me straight away in the eye and said, "If you want to meet God tonight, pick up that sack of food and come with me. He has ruined me." We drove out of town a bit to, as you might imagine, an old country shack of a home. It was cold, it had no heat, no transportation, and they had no food. He said to me, run up with this food to the house and save those people. And the woman who answered the door was blue and black from obvious physical abuse. Her kids were young and snotty-nosed and crying, and I cried. And I realized the words of Jesus true in my heart of hearts, that when we serve the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, the cold, and the naked, the most at-risk people, that we are serving the very essence of God. It is a spiritual reality that has grounded me and set me free from other kinds of ridiculous religious acting out. So I have been the non-perfect leader and participant in community involvement in homelessness work for nearly all of my 40 years in this job. I have not solved homelessness, but I've been a real-time player in groups coming together in ways that have saved lives. In our program in Greater Chicagoland, we were seeing 25% of our homeless guests yearly moving out of homelessness into homes and then jobs. You got to have a home if you want to maintain a job. It just kind of works that way. Our recidivism rates were low, but you know, even if you came back into our system after being out and being successful, we just took you in again. No questions asked, because we believed that is what God does for all of us less than perfect people. Those of you who are perfect, you don't have to worry anyway. You're perfect. Just quit it. We have done homeless sheltering here at First United on a combination of Monday, Tuesday, and Saturday nights for the last 7 years. We have been leaders in the program, and on our good nights, we have had the privilege of working with volunteers from as many as 24 other churches, mosques, temples, and organizations. We have saved physical lives and given hope to thousands, but it has had its costs, the least of which have been financial. In the 7 years that we have had this program, we have never had that program of serving the homeless in our budget, because you and me, we just keep giving the dollars to feed and shelter at-risk people. The year before we opened, 12 people froze to death on the city streets of Bloomington. It just doesn't happen anymore. What have the costs been to see the face of God? My list of costs, incidentally, is very long. I have been threatened with physical harm and death on multiple occasions. I have been laughed at in both fun and mean ways. I have been coughed on, sneezed on, gotten sick, and drove home on ice and sleet and snow in the middle of the night. I have met some of the most drunk, drugged, and down people ever, and still they have thanked me and us from the bottom of their hearts for being present for them. I have been, as a parent, I don't know how else. I have been peed on many times, okay? I think it's just to be expected as a parent. I have rolled men over in these bushes who have been passed out in the bushes in 0-degree weather only to be peed on by guys whose name I didn't even know. It's not my favorite way to meet the face of God, but it happens. Men and women that we have housed and fed and laughed and cried with and wondered, why are we doing this? Wave at me and say thank you as I go downtown, and have simply moved on and lived their lives, which is more than enough for me. My favorite folks are those of you who have made it happen in 100 different ways. There are few things as meaningful and fun as spending a shift from 11 p.m. to, they're about 3 in the morning, with volunteers who I have discovered to be the salt of the earth. I have been privileged, that's not to say that those of us who work other shifts aren't salt, it's just, you know. I have been privileged to know the ways of God in you. In you. And know that you have come from here, and you have come as volunteers from every faith group in town. And I know many of our volunteers come who they claim to have no faith at all. They are not correct about having no faith, but who am I to question, really? There's a television commercial for an auto dealership that I absolutely detest up in Indianapolis that claims that neither he nor his children will ever charge a dealer or a dock fee ever. I don't even know what dealership it is. We have a similar way, however, here, of never requiring any religious test of anyone coming into our shelter, whether as guests or as volunteers. We have been low barrier. If you can walk in the door, you can stay as long as you are not at a risk to yourself or others. Hate speech is not allowed. I think we ought to move that to society in general, but we're a private organization here, and we can say you don't have a right to do hate speech here. That hurts other people. We have kicked out homeless folks for being anti-Muslim in their speech, for being anti-gay, mainly transphobic, and for being sexually inappropriate in the shelter. You know it when you see it. Most times, it has only taken once being asked to leave and behavior changes. We have stood firmly and strongly in favor of the rights of too often abused minority persons. Now, I'm telling you all of this because aspects of the good work that we have been doing for the homeless is probably going to change here in Bloomington. Wheeler Mission has taken over Backstreet Mission, and it is seeking to be the primary provider of shelter to the homeless. Two of the four churches that have been providing space for our program are pulling out, and that is leaving our program in crisis, to say nothing about the homeless folks who depend on us. No final decisions have been made yet, and there's a real question about whether or not Wheeler will be able to provide what they're hoping to provide. Saying that, I still have two concerns that have made me stomp and kick this past week, and I mean I have stomped and kicked and hollered. Wheeler Mission, while being a rather traditional conservative religious enterprise, that is well and good, period, okay? But they have a religious test. Guests have to sign up to allow religious indoctrination for full-time participation in their program, and Wheeler Mission, in addition, is exceedingly anti-gay. I have both white and economic privilege, last I checked. I can choose to stick up my nose and not go to church with people who believe differently than I do. But you know, people who have no homes and are hungry do not really have the freedom of choice that I have, that most of us have. In addition, we have been a safe place for the homeless in the GLBTQ community, and we know, we seriously know, how unsafe it is to be anywhere else on the sexual continuum of expression other than to be cisgender. Under pressure, Wheeler has agreed to not have a religious test requirement right now, as long as they are providing just temporary emergency shelter, along with volunteers with the Interfaith Winter Shelter. They have agreed not to preach in similar ways against the GLBTQ community, but they acknowledge that they have a problem because they believe if you're gay, you're going to hell, and you are choosing to be gay or trans. That simply makes them unsafe. And once those of us who are in the more progressive religious organizations pull back, Wheeler, after getting both city and progressive church support, will find the permission to be more demanding of a religious test and openly rejecting of GLBTQ rights. So let me be very clear. They have a right. They really do, to be religiously the way they are. I affirm their right. I may find it morally, ethically, and religiously repugnant, but I can afford it. I don't personally need them. But we, you, have worked hard for the last 20 years in this church to be open, welcoming, and affirming as a community, as a faith group. And we just cannot back away from being a safe place for those in the GBTLQ communities. The rate of homelessness is higher for the GLBTQ folks than nearly any other group in our society. They get kicked out of home all the time. Being a safe place for many of us is simply who we are. What are we going to do? Because that safe place stands to disappear. I have spoken loudly even to people I don't know well. I spoke so clearly about the issue, these two issues in the mayor's office. I was passionate. I was clear. And the next day, I got a call from someone that was in the meeting saying, "I don't understand what you're so upset about." So he got an earful the second day. So many people are desperate not to deal with the homeless. And to have a group that says they will do sheltering, that they are willing unconsciously, if not purposefully, to give away religious freedom for all and safety for those in the LGBTQ community. Now, I know there are no perfect solutions, but I urge all of you to know with whom we are called to stand alongside. I do not romanticize anything about being homeless. I don't want a massive group of homeless folks on my street standing outside 24/7, 365, like they are in the neighborhood surrounding Shalom Center right now. I know that there are problems. I appreciate that Kilroy's and Cook have both given, along with the city, the money to keep Shalom open all weekend long. But poverty, drug addiction, mental illness, and really bad stuff that happens to people will be with us always beyond this year that they're buying. The need for a progressive shelter, a true safe place free from the elements of nature and the unnatural hatreds and biases of men and women will always be needed. And Kilroy's, what's wrong with them? They were caught this past week saying that they still encourage underage girls in their bars and are calling for us. Many people are, as a result, calling for them to take that $29,000 and to invest it in teaching about the dangers inherent in underage drinking and how it only increases the likelihood of rape and death for many young women in our town as a risk. Pay attention to that growing news story. That was just a side. Sheltering homeless folks is just a Band-Aid. I know that. It does not solve the long-term issues, but it saves people. To be safely saved is the right of everyone, and it will take passionate leadership of us to lure our churches, our city government, to provide the sort of shelter options that we would feel good about letting Jesus stay in. These are our days. We have been called upon by the Spirit of holiness to stand on the side of true religious freedom and freedom from religion, and to never abandon to the streets those most in need in whom we have found and must realize that God is fully present, perhaps more so than in most places. Real life has no easy answers, right? I prefer a sermon that tells me exactly what I should be doing. $5, $5, $5. All I can ask of you is to be prayerfully and painfully aware that the direction that sheltering is going is not going to be a good, safe alternative for many of the people at risk in our town. Please agonize about it. Please stomp and shout with me. Perhaps with all of us, we will find solutions, even partial ones, that will be better than those that are being currently considered. Share in the pain and risk and hope of the homeless, and you will see the face of God. My experience has been that God's face causes great joy and even greater consternation.